Good song. Alrighty. Today is Wednesday, July 6th, 2011. Tonight's message is brought to you by our suggestion jar. And it is going to be on the book of Jeremiah. And that song kind of fits. If you listen, if you recall the words of the song that we just sang, that's what Jeremiah did. He told it like it is. And people didn't want to hear it. Okay? Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. It contains 52 chapters. And it's one of the longest books in the Bible. It's also one of the hardest to follow and to understand. Okay? So it's a good book to study, but you have to be careful when you study it because a lot of the things are not in order. I've been reading it again. And the way you read it, it does kind of follow and it makes sense. But you have to realize that it's not in order. It is not in chronological order. Basically, what it is about is Jeremiah. First of all, let me back up. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. More than likely because his message that he gave brought sadness upon everybody. I mean, he was not giving a good word. Generally, prophets don't. I've heard it said before that if a prophet shows up at your door, it's not necessarily a good thing. They usually don't bring good news. And in Jeremiah's case, he was no exception. He was full of compassion for the lost and the idolatrous state of God's people. And it weighed heavy on him. Have you ever had someone in your life that is so lost in their sin that you feel sorry for them? And it actually weighs you down. You can feel it in your spirit. That's kind of how Jeremiah was, but he was like that with all of God's people. There were many people that he felt that way for. He was just a youth. He was just a teenager, let's call him. He was not very old. When he was called to carry a severe message to God's people. And through it, he claimed inadequacy and inexperience. God's support and presence caused Jeremiah to overcome any deficiency. Jeremiah basically felt the same way Moses did. Who am I, Lord? In Jeremiah 1, 6 through 10, the word says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." What did Moses say? Well, I don't have an eloquent tongue, eloquent in speech, right? Moses said the same thing. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." God had a plan for Jeremiah. He had a purpose. He wanted Jeremiah to deliver the word to his people to wake them up, to get them to understand what type of life they were living and how they were not walking with the Lord. What usually happens when you don't walk with the Lord? Ethan? He redirects you. What else? Punishment. God tells you to do something and you don't do it, what usually happens? Xander? He punishes you. He finds a way to get to you, some way, somehow. The thing to remember is that God doesn't forget. He forgives. What I mean by that is he doesn't forget his plan for your life. Okay? God has a purpose for every one of us. His purpose doesn't change. He doesn't say, oh, because, you know, maybe Xander's the wrong kid for the job. Maybe I should have Ethan do it. God doesn't do that. If God says, I want Xander to do this, it may take years before Xander listens and does what God wants him to, but God does not change his plan for us. It stays the same. Okay? Like I said, the book of Jeremiah is not in chronological order. It is an arrangement of Jeremiah's prophecies to Judah, a nation on the brink of national ruin due to their idolatry and sin. Okay? Because of their sin and the way that they were worshiping other gods and not putting the Lord first, Jeremiah had to prophesy to them and say, look, this is what you're doing. He had to go tell them. He had to tell it like it is. What you're doing is wrong. And God's going to punish you for it. Right? Who else in Scripture can we think of that had to tell people that what they were doing was wrong and that God was going to punish them? Does anybody know? Any idea? How about Jonah? Remember? Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and tell the Ninevites that they needed to straighten up and fly right. Okay? Good thing is they listened. Not so in Jeremiah's day. But I'm not going to preach a whole lot of scripture to you out of Jeremiah. We're strictly talking about the book and explaining it to you. Okay? So, his prophecy was given just before the nation fell to the Babylonians. Just before the Babylonians come in, had war, and they took over, Jeremiah gave his prophecy. And basically his prophecy was straighten up and fly right or you're going to be destroyed. They didn't listen. Guess what happened? They were destroyed. Okay? The way Jeremiah is plays out is basically the first half of the book, chapters 1 through 25, contain Jeremiah's prophecies of God's approaching judgment against Judah. And so for the first 25 chapters, it's all about Jeremiah telling these people they need to straighten up. Him predicting to them what's going to happen if they don't. The second half, chapters 26 to 52, contains a few of his prophecies, but the main emphasis is on Jeremiah and his conflicts with the kings who ruled in Judah during his ministry. So the first part is about the prophecies. The second part is about all the conflicts and the fights that Jeremiah had, the things he had to battle, all the people that were trying to come against him and say what he was saying. The word that he was given of the Lord wasn't correct. Also included near the end of the book is a report on the fall of Jerusalem. And Judah's final days as a nation, along with a narrative about Jeremiah's flight into Egypt with the other citizens of Judah following its fall. So the very last end of his book is where it talks about Judah's final days and how Jeremiah escaped. Okay? Though his heart was compassionate towards God's people, Jeremiah's message was to the point. He didn't he told it like it was. And pretty much, I don't know what the exact time frame was, but from chapters 1 to 25, it had to be a pretty good length of time. I would imagine by then you're just fed up. How many times do you try to tell people in their lives, point out things in their days, what they're doing wrong? They're just not hearing you. At some point, you get fed up and you're just like, okay, this is the way it is. This is what you're doing wrong. You either need to repent and return to the Lord or pay the punishment. Take the punishment, right? I wasn't able to find the scripture. I think it's in chapter 5. There's a scripture actually where the Lord told Jeremiah, they're not going to heed your words. We're not going to listen to you. I found that reassuring because it does get discouraging when you're the one trying to lead and guide people, your friends and your family, and people just aren't hearing you. They're just not listening and paying attention. But yet they still always want to ask, why are these things happening to me? Why is God doing these things? Well, because you're misbehaving is not always the reason, but I would say at least 8 times out of 10 it probably is. And maybe it's not just you, but maybe somebody within your household. So it's all these reasons. And Jeremiah, though he was a child, he still was given a task to do for God. And he did it. How often do we not even listen to our children? You know, a lot of people don't listen to children. They think, yeah, right, you don't know anything. God can use anybody. We just have to be open and receptive to it. His message was to the point. He condemned the leaders for allowing the people to go astray. He attacked the people's idolatry and proclaimed judgment unless they repented. He even encouraged surrender to the Babylonians, for he knew that Judah's defeat and exile would cause them to reflect on their decay. By losing and being captured by the Babylonians, being, let's say, locked up in jail, that would make them think about their defeat. Reflect upon what they did. Make them think about what they did and where they went wrong. And hopefully repent. Rather than perish. Rather than die in their sin. We hear it many times, even in our society now, how people that are placed in prison or in jail come to know the Lord. They have nothing else to do. What else are you going to do? You have people telling you when to get up, when you can go to bed, when you can eat, when you can go outside. So I would imagine in those quiet hours when they are in their cells, that's all they have to do is reflect on their life. Think about their mistakes. And a lot of times repent and seek the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's what it's designed to do. Even back in the Bible days. Jeremiah also prophesied that after a season of chastisement and repentance, God would bring back a remnant to Judah and would give them a new covenant. So even though Jeremiah preached to them their destruction, God was still going to save a few. Sounds like another story we know, where God preached destruction, right? Had someone prophesy destruction, and he saved a remnant, right? 8 people? Know what I'm talking about? Noah, correct. If there are people to be spared, God will spare them, even if the rest need to be destroyed. Unfortunately, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah weren't as lucky, but God did save a remnant. In Jeremiah 31 through 34, the word says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So God gave Jeremiah that promise that he would save a remnant. And from that remnant, all would know him. Everyone. Jeremiah's message at that point was of hope. Hope that this new covenant would be unconditional and that God would write his law on the human hearts, forgive their sins, and remember their evil no more. That was the hope that Jeremiah was giving them. That they would be forgiven, that they would be drawn closer to God, be strengthened by his mighty hand, and that God would remember their sins no more. All of this was fulfilled for us in our great hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. But just like Jeremiah, we are also called to be ministers of the new covenant, to share the hope of the gospel with those who are lost without it. God promises that he will be our sufficiency and that his spirit will cause our words to give life, to take his message to the world, take his message to the world around you, and remember that the Lord is with you. Okay? Jeremiah 1:17-19, the word says, Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls, against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And what that means is that they were going to come against Jeremiah. They weren't going to enjoy the message that he was giving them. They weren't going to receive it, but God was going to protect him. And we have to always remember that God gave that promise of restoration. He promised to save that remnant. Jeremiah at one point was put in jail. He was released. He was banished. They didn't want to hear him. He went to Egypt. They didn't want to hear him there. He prophesied about the Philistines. He prophesied against Moab. He prophesied against Amam. He prophesied against Babylonian and Kedar. He told everybody that was in the land what they were going to face if they didn't wise up. In chapter 51, verse 29, the word says, And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. And Jerusalem will fall. We are always called to remember the words of the Lord. We're always called to share that word with those within our lives that need it. And we should always rely on God to give us the word and to write it on our heart and use our lips to be able to speak those words to others. The one verse that I wanted to leave you with tonight, that you may know where it comes from, it's a popular verse that's given a lot to people that graduate from high school and college. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. And the word says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And what that means is God is saying, and there's different versions. This is King James. But basically what the part that's always quoted is, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." And what that means is that God knows a plan. He knows his purpose and his plan for you. And when you focus on God's purpose and plan for you, then you know that the Lord is with you and there's a work that you have to do for him. And as long as it's God's will, he will allow it to be done. He'll put it on your heart. He'll put it on your lips. Just as he did with Jeremiah, he gave him the strength and the courage to preach to that nation and to administer to them to get them to repent. They didn't listen to him. They put him in jail. But God still saved that remnant in order for it to be rebuilt, just as he had done before. It's a story that's repeated throughout history. And I know I've said it before and it's in the Word. I didn't pull the scripture out tonight. But the Word does say that there's nothing new under the sun. The devil has no new tricks. He will continue to use the same old ones. And eventually he will be cast back into hell where he came from. And there will be no victory ever for him. He might have the small ones, but he'll never have the final victory. And that's because the victory's already been won. Amen. Study Jeremiah. It's a long book. There's a lot of things in it. And you will find a lot of scripture that you've probably heard before and maybe didn't know that that's where it was. It is very interesting. I'm about in the middle of it. But like I said, this is probably my, I don't even know how many times I've read it. But unfortunately, there's so much in scripture that we can read it and read it and read it, and it's easy to forget because there's so much of it. Stay strong in the Word. Draw close to the Lord, because if you are weak, he is your strength. And it's only by his hand that you can be strong to be able to do his work and preach his word and to do the things that he would have you to do. And that's what's most important, is to know that God has a purpose and a plan. We're called to preach his word and deliver that to others, but there are going to be those that won't hear it. But as long as you rely on the strength of the Lord and allow him to give you the words, the guidance, the direction, at least you'll be walking in his will. And there will be those that won't hear it, but there will be those that will also. And that's what God's word tells us to do, is to preach to those that need to hear it. That's the message for tonight. Not too long. But it wasn't really an easy subject either. Does anybody have any comments? I know you have questions, Christian. Kristen will get them off camp, off mic. Does anybody have any comments? Already? I know, but it can wait. Let's get it off the mic. Alrighty, that's the service for tonight then. If all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand.